Blog Talk Radio.
The host of the Bridget Norville Show, Bridget Norville.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bridget Norville Show. Well, as you see, you know what? I'm going to slap on some instrumental because we're going to have to talk. We're really going to do some talking. I've been busy. I have been doing a whole lot of different things. And we're going to talk about what I've been doing. But before we get in our conversation, we're going to talk about relationships. I have some special guests that's going to come on the show. And we're going to have our, one of our guests is Miss Sierra. She's a life coach. I was trying to get everything set up because when I said we have to talk, I have to tell you what's been going on with my life. So I'm going to give you about maybe 20, 30 minutes about what's going on with me. But when I called Miss Sierra up at the last minute, and I want to thank her for coming on. You can check her out on Facebook. She's going to give you some information. She has her Monday morning inspiration with Sierra, and she's going to talk about that. I'm also going to quote some things that I have from my good friend, Miss Williams, Dr. Williams. If you know about Dr. Williams is one of our life coaches. I don't know if you know much about myself, but if you're new to this broadcast, if you're first time hearing about me, I am a life coach. I am also a pastor. I'm a chaplain, and I want to turn that around. When I say a life coach, I can't really tell you what to do with your life, but I consider myself a spiritual coach. Let's go there. I'm a spiritual coach. The spiritual part of coaching is I get down to the root cause of that fruit that you're bearing. A lot of times we go through things, we don't know ourselves, we don't know what we're going through. So I try my best, and through God, and for me there's only one true living God, and through God I pull out what it is that is troubling you so much. Why are you repeating these patterns? There is a pattern that we repeat. And it's something that we really, really have to get to, and we don't because we don't know how our makeup is. So I get to that. I get to it through actual spirituality, do spirit. We also use the your mental capacity of how you think, how you feel, and why you feel that way. So that's why they use me as a spiritual life coach. And that's my title. That's who I am. And that's why my theme song is I am everything. I am anything. But God knows who I am. And the thing is, God do know who I am. Because a lot of times we try to have people make up who we are, but God already have made us up who we are. We just have to figure it out because we had to go through so many different things in our aspects of life of people molding you. We lose who we are. So basically, that's who I am. That's who I am. And this show is sponsored by iCoach. iCoach is a coaching company that we actually have our spiritual coach, our life coaches, and you can always give us a call anytime you need us. If you want, go to iCoachandCo.com. That's iCoach and ANDCO.com. I'm trying to pull up a little of Dr. J's bio, Dr. Williams' bio. She is a licensed psychologist, and we all sit under iCoach, and she's the president and under iCare. I have some little quotes from her. She has an awesome book that she has out called The Seven Doors. What we do as women, we walk through not women, men too. We walk through doors, and we stay in those doors, and we put a pretty bow, a big pretty bow on the doors because we don't want to walk through the next door. As you know, the number seven is completion. So as we walk through the seventh door, we're supposed to be completed. But I love one of the doors she called the waiting room, and that's door number five. Door number five, we never come out of door number five. I believe it's door number five or door number six. But we're going to talk to her more next week because as I was speaking to my actual co-host, we said this has to be a series. This really has to be a series because we're going to talk about romantic relationships. So this right here is going to be our romantic relationship. So I'm going to get transparent with you. And I hope I'm coming in fine. I don't know if I see Beth on my board. Yes, I do. I'm going to bring you in, Beth. If you have a lot of background noise, you can put it on mute. But I am going to bring you in. And I'm going to see if you hear me fine. Beth, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Beth? Okay, great. Now, this is Beth, my co-host. And as you know, we have been pulling this together for months now with the Bridget Norville Show. So welcome, Beth. Welcome for coming on and helping us talk on this and speak on this topic and everything. But I'm going to now tell the people where I'm at and what's going on. So this is what's been going on with Bridget. What's been going on with Bridget? She transitioned into a new city, state. I am now in the Texas area, and why I'm in the Texas area, one, I'm working on a campaign, and the campaign is Miss Lori Bartley. She's running for position for Congress, and she's running for one of the most powerful, I should say, districts there is, and I have to say that it has really been a walk, a spiritual walk. You really have to know who you are in the spirit. It's just awesome. But let me tell you how I got here. And Beth knows the story. Many does, and many don't. And the ones that's in my circle do, and the ones don't. Well, I met a gentleman. And he was a very nice gentleman that I met here in Houston, Texas. Well, things got where we became interested in one another. He mostly became interested in me because I was content where I was. Can I be real? Let's lay it all on the table. I was very content where I was, but when I'm not even going to go, you know what, we're going to just lay everything on the table. When you get lonely, when you get to the point where I haven't been with someone for basically 5 years, my ex-husband and I been separated, well, we were separated for over five years, and 3 years we've been divorced. And I haven't been with anyone else. So he said the right things. He knew the right things to say. He knew what to say, how to say it, blah, blah, blah. Fell into the trap. Now, I didn't fall into the trap of fornication and all that, but we're going to talk about that. Because as we get into relationship, I would love to pull in a spiritual part of this. Because in the spiritual part of relationship, I don't know if anybody is on the air, and you're welcome to press 1. First, if you're listening online, you're welcome to speak to us in the chat room, or you can call in to 646-200-3488. That's 646-200-3488. But do you know, and I found this out, that though we had a relationship back and forth in different states, I had a spiritual sexual encounter, and we're going to talk about that, where spirits are real. And that one is so deep, I don't even know how we're even going to get into that. And Beth will tell me how we can bring it into the series, or we could just touch on it. But just to fill you in, yes, we did talk about marriage and everything, and then I felt something really strong that something wasn't right. And going through this relationship, I kept on fighting my spirit, because like I said, I'm a spiritual coach. So who did I have to listen first? To my spirit, to the spirit of God. And he didn't serve the same God I serve, and that wasn't really what bothered me. It was that I was spending more time thinking about him than thinking about God. And I was just so off balance. So I started saying something is not right. Something is going on, which they were, you know, I won't say they. Like I said, I'm going to lay it all on the table. He thought I was crazy. He's like, okay, you're delusional, I think his words were, you are hurt and you're damaged. Well, lo and behold, everything that I thought about the man and I saw about the man was in the man. The only thing is that I was fighting what God was showing me. My soul was fighting it because I was fighting love. So this is not one of the reasons why I'm here in Texas. I got over all that. But I had to see what it is that I was fighting. And I had already heard all the things I needed to hear. It opened up like a can of worms. It opened up like you're opening up a closet and all the bones fell out the closet. Because I went to God and I sought God and I said, I need to see and I need to know that I'm not going crazy. I know that I have some of my best friends on here. And we're going to open up the lines because normally we talk about what's in the news, but I think we're going to just jump right into this because I wanted to talk about Leandra Johnson, about her cursing and about her drinking Patrol, but we'll jump into that because I think that's going to be on our spiritual relationship with God. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a quick song, and matter of fact, let's play a commercial. And I'm going to get my ladies, and I don't know if I see Hope on here, and I know Beth is on here, but we're going to, and anyone that wants to join in on the conversation, we're going to open up the lines, and I'm going to actually get real down and dirty about relationship and when we need to pay attention to what is going on in our relationship. So we'll be right back.
Get the 411 has the solution for your advertising and promotional needs. With affordable pricing, we can help you get the word out. Get the 411 has your marketing solution that meets your business demand, whether it's events, conference, social gathering, social networking, new businesses, or your latest CD. Get the 411 got you covered. With a loyal following over 100,000 regular readers worldwide, let internet marketing with Get the 411 become your method of choice for advertising needs. Contact us by email at info@getthe411.biz or log on to our website at www.getthe411.biz. Call us at 321-287-7419. That's 321-287-7419 and get the 411.
Well, we're back, and as you see, I hope you get the 411. We're growing so much, and if you're just logging in, you're listening to the Bridget Norville Show, and we're talking about relationships. What we're going to talk about today is actually when do you know it's time to come out of that relationship? You know, are you dating or married to someone? Is your relationship rocky? Does that partner? I'm sorry. As you know, that I am doing double things because I'm getting a. Okay, I got a good job so far. Is your relationship rocky? Do they have issues? Is it jeopardizing your relationship? That's jeopardizing your relationship. Does that person constantly lie to you? Have you noticed dysfunctional patterns? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and we're talking about how I got here, in Houston. Well, I'm here for Lori Bartley, but we always say what the enemy means for bad, the in of me, that's in us, because I fell in love with something that was an illusion. Let's first talk about that. Let's illusion. When we get into a relationship, the first thing we see is an illusion. The illusion is what the person paints, what the person tells you, and what you want to believe. But then you come to the disillusion. That the disillusion is that you see the truth, you see some things going on, and then you question it. In the process of questioning, you now come to a confusion. You become confused. You're like, okay, what do I do? And then you have to come up with a conclusion. Now, I did open up one of my girls' lines, and I see another one of my girls on there, and I don't know if she can talk because I know she's at work, so she needs to text me and let me know if she could talk. But these particular women, Beth and Miss Hope, now, when I was going through this, because when we're I'm talking about this to say, well, she don't know what she's talking about, she this, but Miss Hope, if you can say something, and Beth, am I telling the listeners anything that I did not go through and y'all walked me through it?
Okay, do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. 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 What else can I say? I went through it all. I mean, your up and down mood swings and, you know, feeling like I was the enemy, you know, all the changes that relationships may take you through, because everyone becomes suspect when it's kind of like what you're saying, something's wrong with this. So you're seeing it through that lens where something's wrong mm-hmm. with pretty much any of your relationships, and your girlfriends become the suspect too of, you know, are they meaning me the best? Are they do they really have my back, you know, things like that. And so I, of course, then was in that yo-yo of your emotions. And yes, girlfriend, I'm very glad that you saw clearly the light that I was trying to help you in the beginning to see. Amen.
And it's funny because she was a suspect, but Hope wasn't, because she's the one that introduced me to the relationship. So she became the suspect because of the person at hand made her a suspect. So that's why we have to be careful. Miss Hope, go ahead, because I want them to know that I was a basket case.
I'm so glad we're being very honest, right?
That's true.
Yeah. It happened. Yeah.
Hope, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw you lose control and not know, you know, what to do. And we all thought maybe you were overreacting or whatever, but you were sensitive to the spirit was trying to tell you, you know, walk slowly and pay attention. And you found out later, as you said, that what the person projected initially was not how it really was. And I can just tell you from my own experience that as we get older, we really learn that feeling that we have saying something told me not to, that's not something, that's the spirit. So as we become more sensitive to that, we will make less mistakes. And a discussion I had with my oldest son said that lessons is actually less sin. We stop falling short as we learn the lesson.
Beautiful, yes.
The analogy. Yeah.
That's good.
So,
that's good.
I mean, and you went through what you went through, and it might have looked like it didn't work out, but it worked out the way God had it planned. Which was better than you could expect.
That's it. And a lot of times God used things for us, and like you said, it's a lesson, but what do we learn from the lesson? And as Ms. Hope said, I think with maturity, we learn. And I would have been going through my third marriage, and I would have found out, once again, I stepped into something. And if anyone wants to get in on a conversation, press number one. Press number one on your phone so we can jump in on a conversation. I do have Ms. Sierra open up. Your line is open up, and we're going to talk to you because she works on relationship, too, with she and her husband. But what I was saying is that what I kept on fighting, though that now Hope is a hope of reason. She's a, you know, we're more mature. We see things in a different light. I had to go through so many different people that saw life differently. Hope has compassion, and you have Beth that sees spiritually and going to speak and spiritualize it, and we're going to try to fix it in a spiritual realm and a spiritual aspect. Hope is going to fix it also the same way, in a compassionate way. But then I had my down and dirty, raw people that came and say, blah, 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 this is how it is, he's a player, he ain't no... I was like, okay. So I had it coming, and even Miss Sierra got a few of it because she is my spiritual daughter, and I was calling everyone because I was now doubting, what am I seeing? And because they were telling me, oh, you're damaged, you're this, you're that, because it was an illusion that they were painting, and everyone in my circle was a disillusion. But one thing they could not do is take away that one spirit that is close to me that's saying is the Holy Spirit. And because of my gifting, because of what I've been through, because of my maturity, I knew it wasn't off. I remember the day I did, the Lord said, shut down your phone. Don't take no more calls. And I want you to seek my face. And I went and got the Juanita Bynum CD, Diary of Juanita Bynum, and she was talking about her soul crying out. And most of the songs was about her soul and her emotion being in out of whack. And I'm like, okay, God, she is talking to me. And I remember I went on that sabbatical and started studying in that consecration of what I needed to do. And I came out, and I didn't have to go investigate because I had my investigative reporter, my girl, that was like, girl, let's look him up. Let's find out about him. And we did, but God did the greatest investigation when I went to the Father and I prayed to him. And in the process of praying to him, I spoke to him the next day, and all the skeletons fell out the closet. Now, as the skeletons fell out the closet, I had to make a decision with what I found out. Could I live with it? Did I want to be with it? And this is what we're now talking about. When do you know it's time to walk away? When do you know that it's time to now give up on that person? Because though I had the voice of reason, the spiritual voice, the voices that were saying they're not going to change or this and that, when do you know it's time to walk away? And it was one of my coaches, and that's Dr. J. I gave her a call, and I told her, and I will never forget, she flew into Tampa, and she came to tell me about the seven doors. And when she flew into Tampa, I was a mess because I found out the man was married, and we were planning to be married. Yeah, we're going to lay everything on the table. I am just going to be transparent. I just won't say the man's name, but I'm going to be transparent. So what we did was I was a basket case, and I said I fell in love with a married man. Though that he said he's getting ready to get a divorce, and they tell you that all the time. But I said, okay, when do I leave? And I stuck it out. The man was married, and there was a whole lot of things on top of that. So she said, the day you lie to yourself, this is Dr. J's quote, the day you lie to yourself is the day you quit. But become too scared to leave. So I started lying to myself. I started lying and started seeing, oh, he's going to change. And I have hope for everyone. And yes, they could change. But then I had to notice the pattern. She said, then what I had to do was the day I embraced and believed the illusion, the universe makes you confront it until you tell the truth. So I was actually embracing that illusion. And I saw the illusion, and it became the disillusion. But now I had to confront the truth within me. And we'll find out basically at the end what I had to confront, what I had to do. But we're going to talk. Sierra, are you on the line? Coach Sierra?
I'm here.
Are you there? Okay. Let's
Hope.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Hope. Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt. I just wanted you to know I was here.
Okay. Sierra, what we're talking
this
about
is
now.
Me.
Okay. When we're dating, why do you think, because I know you deal with, and you heard what Dr. J said, and I want to hear what you have to say, too. Why do we think this happens to us women, especially women? I mean, I don't know if there's some men on the line. Please press one. Ben, if you want to talk, this is your conversation, too, because you know what? You might be going through the same thing, too. But, Sierra, dealing with couples, why do you think that we try to sit down and fool ourselves when we see the truth?
Wow, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you, Pastor Bridget, for this opportunity. Like you said, it was last minute, but you know, God has a way of doing things. And I just want to thank God for you because I had no idea the of what you were going through. And I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness. But you know, everything happens for a reason. I don't question it. I'm where I need to be at the right time. And when you first told me about the situation, right, I was like, okay, you know, because God works in mysterious ways and stuff like that. So I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to speak negatively about the situation. Like you said, I'm your spiritual daughter, so I just want to support you. I want you to be happy, so on and so forth. So we prayed about some things and talked about some things. But after we hung up the phone, my prayer for you has been, God, your will be done in her life. Whatever is for her, let it be. Whatever is not for her, God, you remove it and teach her something out of the whole situation. And I'm just so glad that God saw you through it, because like you said, this type of stuff literally will have people going crazy on all type of medications and trying to figure out what's going on because they're not standing in their truth. And like you said, I'm a restoration life coach, and this is something that most of my clients deal with on a, it's like almost a lifestyle, and it just goes back to the beginning from childhood. There is a dysfunction that they were nurtured in, so they kind of aren't able to discern what's right and what's not right. And one thing about a woman who is not able to discern when it comes to relationships and different things like that is because her wisdom is off a little bit. And that has been my biggest prayer. God, make me as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove, because when we are wise, we're able to sit back and be quiet and pick up on things and just, you know, watch and guard over our hearts. But one thing that God revealed to me about a woman who knows something might not be right and still kind of goes with it or whatever the case may be, is that they have the spirit of sabotage and codependency. And what that is, there's a brokenness in the woman where she will sabotage her own self. Even when you know something isn't right or whatever, something in your mind will cause you to keep trying to make the situation fit you. That's just like God. People like to make the word suit them versus our lives suiting God. It can't work like that. So one thing, like I said, that was revealed to me just throughout my business, throughout working with other people, throughout me and my husband dealing with other relationships and marriages, that is the spirit of sabotage and codependency is so heavy. And what it does, it distorts the mind. It distorts what our spirit knows. And number one, it's because we're not really connected. So it goes back to God being first, seeking God first, and then these things shall be added unto you. That includes the husband. That includes the wife. That includes the finances. That includes the joy, the peace, the happiness. When we seek him first, and one strategy that the enemy uses is distraction. So when we're distracted with Facebook and all these different types of things that come into our life, we aren't, like you said, in balance. We aren't in position to be able to really see what's going on. And then we become vulnerable. And so the next person that comes into our life that can, you know, make us feel good or light a fire in us and give us our groove back like Stella, you know, we fall with it. And it's sad because so many women are losing themselves, and that's what the enemy tried to do to you, Pastor Bridget. He tried to make you lose yourself because you have so much on the inside of you. And oh my goodness, I'm just speechless right now. Like, wow.
Yeah, and you know, everything you said is so correct, because one, it's a learned behavior. And what Beth kept on telling me, and I couldn't hear her because at that time
I was in a fog. I was really in a fog. And we're still, if we go down the road of this individual, and I saw his patterns, and as every one of you know, from Hope to Beth to even Coach Sierra, they know me to be one that can analyze a behavior and a pattern. But it had me so much in a illusion that I couldn't even, I would see the pattern, but didn't want to acknowledge the pattern because I fell in this false sense of love. Now, I'm going to say it like this. I had conditional love, but one pattern I did notice that he had conditions on his love. Another pattern I noticed was he was very codependent on other people. And because we are enablers, we are nurturers like mothers. And I'm not talking to the ones that are married. If you're in a marriage, you really have to go to God and pray, because I'm not separating no one from their marriage. But these are things that you have to really see within yourself. I put a pretty bow on it because I want taking care of it by, you know, fixing his food and all that stuff. But I'm like, in the business aspect, making his calls and all the different things. When I found out, and let's talk to the Christian women. I'm going to say it like this, Christian women. When I found out that this man was doing this to other Christian women, and I got the phone call from the girlfriend that they said that they broke up with, and she's now telling me everything that I was playing the same role she was playing, but in a different way. And I see someone have their, someone wants to chime in, and I see you 202, Erica 202, and the last four numbers is 513. I'll bring one in just a second. But when I got the phone call from her, and I now saw the patterns, and I tapped into the spirit, and God showed me and let him tell me all the things he's been through. Everything that I kept on hearing was people that kept him in that codependency. He constantly stayed there. And because I heard certain things that he'd been through, and Beth now comes in and say, that is a pattern of someone that has went through some type of trauma and abuse. And it's the same thing for us. So we try to save others when we can't save ourselves. But the problem is we can't control others if we can't control ourselves. So I saw something, and I didn't put him down. I tried to work with him. But then I started seeing it was hurting me more than it was helping me. It was hurting my pocket. Because now I became that financial dependent person, as that other girlfriend said she was, and then now I became that. I just lost myself. One thing that they did do was take my voice. My voice was being taken away. Because I didn't want to say anything, and I'm not saying women argue, because I'm not an argumentative woman. I don't argue with a man anymore, because that's not how you get your point across. But when I saw the anger, and it was a situation, and I'm going to bring you on the person that's holding on. It was a situation that happened in our hotel room, my hotel room, and he was just there, and I saw the ugliness before on the phone, the irate, the anger, and the slamming, and just the acting indignant. And when I saw that, and first I heard it on the phone, and it was a red flag. But I was so in love. I was in my illusion. I was in my little illusion. Okay. He's going to be fine. But when I saw that in the hotel, I got chills. I got chills that came through my body. And I said, my God. And when I told, and that was the last time we actually even spoke to each other. And the relationship totally ended in that way. There was no hope no more. Because though I found out all the other things that women would say, I would have left a long time ago, I still tried. And when I saw that anger, what came over me was the abuse I had to go through for years. And I saw the verbal abuse. I saw the cussing. He cursed in front of me. He used profanity. He didn't care how he spoke. But when I saw that he got that angry in that room, I'm like, my God. And there's two things that flashed through my eyes. Either he was going to be dead or I'm going to be in jail, because no one would ever put their hands on me again. And that's how angry I saw they got, till they couldn't control themselves. And they didn't try to put their hand on me. It was just the anger that went through them. So that's why I said we really need to talk about this. I'm going to bring the 202 on, last number in your phone number is 513. Hi, caller, state your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, L.A. Davis, I'm calling from Florida.
Hey, L.A., how are you?
Fine, fine. I haven't heard all of this conversation, but the parts of it I did hear. I'm going to put something out there. Maybe people haven't thought about it this way, but in the situation we were just talking about, when you bring up God, you're talking about, when it comes down to it, DNA. And man / DNA, because man is basically the hardware for the DNA programming. Man's roughly around maybe 6 million years old. The written word's only been around maybe since 3200 B.C., so that's like over 5 million years that man was walking around on Earth, building communities, being social, reproducing, you know, having their primitive governments, or what we call primitive governments, for 5 million years before there was even a written word, to say nothing of religion, organized religion, or anything like that. So DNA, which is created by God, supersedes the written word, the Bible, the Torah, the Vedas, all of that. So when I hear people talk about, I mean, the scenario that you were talking about, basically what I'm listening to is a DNA response. And what people are trying to fit it into is a cultural thing, that they're trying to fit it into some type of cultural restraint, depending on what culture that you're in on planet Earth. Because they're like over 5,000 living languages on the planet right now, actually over 6,000, and every one of them is attached to a different culture. So that same scenario that you might feel uncomfortable with, in the United States, and it doesn't fit in socially in some parts of the United States, you know, you move a few degrees over to another place on the planet, and that DNA response and feeling will fit right in. Because let's look at the animal planet. Look at the animal channel. We'll look what happens in nature. Even on a human level, you have people in different type of relationships. There's no one type of relationship that works for everybody on the planet. There just isn't. Look how nature develops different species. Just within the dog kingdom, there are different species of dogs. You know, so there's no one set cookie cutter that's good for everybody. And all religion is basically, religion is a lifestyle that an individual selects that they feel comfortable with between them and their creator. And even with within the Christian community, you got Catholics, you got Baptists, you got Southern Baptists, you got Primitive Baptists, you have Mormon, you have the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints reorganized, you have AME, you have Methodist, you have AME Zion. That's just, I can keep on going. Mm-hmm. That's just within the Christian sect. So all that is relatively, matter of fact, the spoken word, all the holy books are basically, they're barely on the radar when it comes to the history of man, which is DNA, which was created by God. So when I hear situations like that, there's no way I'm passing moral judgment. I used to, but that was based on my ignorance. But when you look at what was man doing before it was a spoken word?
Okay. Well,
we're talking about over 5 million years.
All right. Let me interject, and I'm going to let someone jump in on what LA said. Not on a religion. This is not a religious show. We're not talking about religion. We're far from talking about religion. We're talking about spirituality and our belief in relationship, on how we were brought up in seeing. And you're right. There is a cultural way of seeing things. And if someone has a culture where they want a man that's going to slap them down, talk to them like a dog, and devalue them, they can live that culture. I choose not to. What we were talking about is when you know that particular person is not for you. I think when you came in, you heard me say on my spiritual part, I have not been a Christian for years. I've been a Christian for years, but I came out of witchcraft. My parents was witches. We sacrificed dogs. We went ahead and drank blood. We went ahead and cut off animal heads. I was a Rasta. I was a Muslim. I practiced all different astrology, and Jesus works for me. So that's just me. So I'm letting you know that I am not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. I've been going through portals, and I've been astral projecting, and I've been doing all kinds of different things. If you want to say not, you could have came and saw me back then. So that was my path. I'm not talking about religion. I'm speaking about what it is as a person, our cultural makeup, our DNA makeup of codependency and enabling, our behavioral makeup. And what we were talking about is when you walk away from something that is unhealthy for you, and that's what the conversation is. The conversation is, can you deal with a man that I was dealing with that said they believe in polygamy and you're going to be more than one man, that the man was still married. He owed child support. This man had warrants for his arrest. He sat up there. He lied. I could have dealt with all the other stuff because it could have been fixed. I have not been with a man that did not have an issue. My first husband was on crack cocaine. He didn't have a driver's license. He had his little issue. But when it now becomes dangerous for my mind, for my value, when you're devaluing me, now you're using me, you're doing what you're doing to me, when do you now stand up and say, it is enough is enough? When you take the pretty bow off of it in any culture there is, I think there comes a time if a woman gets dragged long enough. I just put the other day, Africa, they stopped genocide, I think it's ostracizing or genocide, whatever it is, cutting off the clitoris of women, and it's now against the law. After a while, we do, regardless what you want to believe in, people become tired and wants to stand up for it. So I hope you understand what we're discussing. But if anyone else wants to jump in it without putting religion in it and putting their spin on the understanding of what LA is saying, You're welcome too. And before you do that, I do see another caller calling in, 678-5088. Your line is open. And LA, thank you so much for your input. I really hope to see you at the conference. But if you want to say something else, I'm going to go ahead and take you off. But if you're welcome to press one again if you want to say something else. Hello, 678-5088. If you want to, you have a comment or a question, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, good morning, Pastor Bridget. This is Sister Marvin calling from Georgia. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. I was listening to you, and what you were talking about on the diamond cutting have nothing to do with what you were talking about. You weren't talking about religion. And I was like, here, what is he talking about? You were talking one thing, and you're saying something else. But the reason why
I came in late. Go ahead.
But the reason why I was going so through the same thing in New York, because I was with this guy, he's younger than I am, and everything he wanted I would give, but I was looking for love in all the wrong places, and I mean, he could do nothing. I knew that I was being used, but I was just looking for love, being lonely. And when you're lonely, you will do anything to stay in a relationship. He never disrespected me. He never put his hands on me, but just to use him, baby, can I have this? Baby, can I have that? I had two jobs, and it wasn't like I was in. And I mean, I can tell anyone, I was used till I was put on a clothesline and fall to pieces. It's only the grace of God that I am here, because I was used to the point where I would lay down and wait for the door to turn, the key to turn in the door. And when the dude come in, he came in high, he sleep, and... Mm-hmm. Months we sleep in the same bed and nothing happened. I was like, what the heck? What's going on? Oh, baby, nothing. It's all in your mind. It wasn't in my mind because he used to say, oh, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I said, so why don't you go? Oh, baby, I love you. I see you're confused. And again, one day I asked my sister, I said, I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. And I was walking, and I said, I wish I would know where to go. And I heard God's voice say to me, as plain as yesterday, Georgia. I said to my sister-in-law, did you say something to me? She said, no. I said, yes, you did. And I'm in Georgia by myself, and no sister, no mother, nobody but the people on the prayer line that is my family. Mm-hmm. And I can tell anyone. He came here to Georgia with me, and all he was saying, oh, baby, I have to go back. I have to go look for my kids. And he was up there from in May, June last year until now. He would call me, oh, baby, I want to come home. I would send money for him, and he never came home. So I know what you're talking about, because when you're lonely, you will do anything to stay. And although we are being used, we just do anything because we're lonely.
That's so true.
And I know what it is. I know. And it hurt. It used to hurt me. I would lay down many nights and cry, hoping that he would call me and say, baby, I'm coming home. When he do call, I don't have any money. Can you send me some money? I send him money. The next day, I lose my money. He said to him one day, you know, I should be sorry to see this, but you won't even choke on your saliva. That is how angry I were with myself for sending him money, knowing full well that he was only using. I knew this, but I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Wow. Well, I thank you so much for sharing that, and I hope that our listeners that's just coming in understand really what this show is about. This show is not about a religious thing, and thank you, Sister Marion. Thank you so much for your input of that. And I know I have Beth on the line. I know I have Hope on the line, and I know I have Sierra, and anyone else that wants to jump in, you can press number one. But we heard what L.A. said, and like I said, you know, I'm not beating him up because he did come in late, and I just wanted to have him have the understanding it wasn't a religious thing. And it's like Sister Marion said, she said she was lonely, and though it might be a culture in other people's lives, that is not something that I was culturally taught. I was culturally taught how to have value. No man comes in and live off of you. No man. And my grandmother, I don't know, she would turn over in her grave to actually, if she is watching, that she see what I was going through at that time and say, you know, that's not what I taught you to be. And we are big on class.
And it wasn't the class of man that my grandmother would even want me to have, but which I have my own life and make my own decision. But when I know my value, do anyone want to jump into this conversation of what and speak on what he was saying, that it's because of the DNA and some cultures would be putting up with this? Is anyone out there? Anyone want to say anything behind that?
Yes,
lady.
Hello, LA. I perfectly understand. Of course, we didn't know about the DNA. And and as you mentioned, we kind of go by our familiar. It is a very unfortunate thing that we're not broader thinkers, because our familiar limits us. Our religion, as LA mentioned, is a cultural atmosphere. It's what the parents or our mentors have chosen to indoctrinate us about, which doesn't really allow us to be free thinkers. You know, what he was saying is, what happened before the spoken word? You have to rely on something greater and broader. And actually, that is our true substance, because we are greatness. And even the spoken word has said in so many ways, as we live in our greatness, we will get to know what the passage is saying about the kingdom is within us. As you took that time, you know, and hearing your higher self say, and his name is higher. We know it's the Most High. His name is one. We're all of this universe. You know, we're just one family. So we have to get beyond the restraint of these certain identities and saying that, oh, you know, this is it or whatever, because there's a scripture that says even what you think you know, you don't know. So what we do is rely on that higher vibration. And when Christ said, make them one as we are one, so that nothing shall be impossible, it is for our own survival. If we are one, a lot of the issues and challenges we have, we realize we would not. Take, for instance, in sisterhood, and I shared with you about the sister core. This thing, if, in other words, we're so powerful in the sense of oneness. If we can ever get there and actually just build up one another and allow our thought processes to be broadened, okay? Maybe the person isn't sharing our ideals and faith or what have you, but our concept is so much broader and beyond. And so what you were doing, which wasn't bad at all, as I've said to you so many times, that you are allowing that in relationship, because that's what love does. Love is so unconditional that even though you were seeing the red flags, you still were seeing the best. Even if it wasn't an illusion of that best, that is what you saw, and that is not what you need to put yourself down or you know, in that negative sense of that was not good, because it actually is good. And it brought you into a better land, so to say, you know, in a sense. So all of these experiences are actually helping us in that sense of wholeness as we are of this one race.
That's so true. Miss Sierra, I want you to go ahead and jump in on that, because I think we need to hear. And just to piggyback real quick, I want to say what Beth said. I did see the goodness in them, and no matter how much I did have my others that spoke to me and said, "Girl, they this and that." I think we're getting some people. If you have a child in the background, we're hearing it. But they were saying, girl, you know, you need to, I had the ones that said, you need to leave that Negro alone. And it wasn't healthy for me. And it, a matter of fact, some of them, not some of them, all of them saw a different Bridget. And the Bridget that has actually died, that knows herself, was trying to be resurrected again. And it was because when you suffered with depression, when you suffer with mental illness, and I had suffered with mental illness for years, and I saw these things coming back of depression, doubting myself, I went through therapy, years of therapy of who I am today, and when that person is actually taking it and using it against you to now pull you down to bring themselves up. I don't care if it's man or woman, because I know gay relationships, that people that's in homosexual relationships go through the same thing too. So it's the makeup, once again, as LA said, yeah, the DNA, I know about the DNA. It's your personality that makes up your character. So now I'm seeing these things going on, and it just wasn't healthy for Bridget. It wasn't what my calling was for what my God had for me.
Hey, you hear me?
Hey, yes, I hear you now.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm just still like, wow. But then again, you know, it just goes back to the process develops us for our purpose. So at the end of the day, you're the one who went through it, but it's also, number one, for God's glory, and it's going to be to help somebody else. Like Ms. Beth was saying, she had a very valid point when she was talking about how it's actually for our greater good. And, you know, your situation was with a guy. Mine could be with a child. It's all the same. It's here to teach us something, to help us to dig deeper within ourselves, to find out who we truly are, you know, and these things that come up in our life as far as dysfunction and not walking in our true selves when we know something isn't right, it just continues to remind us that there's room for growth, there's room for improvement, you know, it's just a whole plather of things that continue to show us who we are.
That's it.
But I'm just
That's
grateful.
Good.
I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord knows, I don't know what I would have did without you. So I'm just grateful because you have helped me, you know, be able to look at my situations and understand that they were a reflection of what was going on the inside of me.
Mm. Wow.
So
wow.
I'm just grateful that God kept you, that you're still here, because this is just going to make you better, stronger, more empowered, more equipped for the journey.
Wow. Thank you. And, you know, what you just said, you said two things, and I'm going to actually say something behind what you said. One is that more equipped, because I remember my pastor called me and said that, and it was already told me that I have my second book. I wasn't able to finish the second book. I now, through this journey, I am now ready to do the second book. It's adding on certain things in that book of what I learned. Maybe he's going to do a spin on the book, because, you know, I have the spirit of sabotage in the book. That's the preface. But when you said something, a reflection, now, when we leave our home, we leave from our parents, as being a licensed parent and instructor, being my background in psychology, when we leave our home, and we now go out there, we have those reflections. And there's two things that they're going to reflect. If you want to call it the universe, you want to call it whatever you want, a higher power, God, it's going to reflect two things. It's going to be a mirror reflection of yourself or that higher power or God. But it's going to be a reflection, because now I'm seeing what I'm not dealing with. And when I now, when it now pushed me one way, because if it is a reflection of my higher power, and when we say higher power, the highness, the thought, something think higher than us, and tear down those imagination, but what's already laid out for us, we now become, and we become the image of it. But when we now see a reflection of ourselves, we stay stuck in where we have not left from and where we need to get to. So now we now sit there, and I remember my grandmother used to say, "You think me bomb big like this?" They say in Jamaica, "You think me bomb big?" And I said, when I learned what she meant by that, I was like, whoa, people are born big. Because they go through trauma. They go through tragedy. And that tragedy stunts our growth. Our growth and our mental capacity of thinking. And though I said, and I think maybe where that person, Ellen, came in and heard me say, was we serve different gods and different beliefs. Because through my tragedy, witchcraft was used against me. It was thrown on me. It was taking me out. My mother right now, if we, and Miss Sierra knows this, Beth knows this, and everyone that knows me personally, I have, and witchcraft is in the church with Christians. I saw the biggest witches in church. But witchcraft is real. And what it is, when you're using it against somebody else's will, and when you see my mother trying to still kill me and my grandchildren, and she still have that control, that wants to control me and do what she does and send things in the spirit. Like I said, this is going to be a whole nother. This is going to be a series because as Beth and I were talking about it, we're like, we're going to go, this is romantic. We're going to go through family. We're going to go through monogamous. We're going to go through so many different things. But when you still see someone trying to control you and still trying to get that control over you, she went through some type of tragedy. I went through some type of tragedy. This woman tried to burn me up. She tried to break my arm. I tried to commit suicide. She told me to lay there and die. That's a tragedy that I had to go through. So now when I'm stepping in a relationship, I'm stepping into something dysfunctional. I want the same love. I want the same thing that I was used to. So it might not come like, thank you, listener. They said the mechanic of control is also witchcraft. So now when we're sitting up here and we're, I now see my mirror image of my mom that has made me feel bad, say I wasn't amount to anything, and I now see a mirror telling me the same thing too, but that's not what my higher power is saying, and that's not how my destiny that I'm seeing is laid out for me. Do I now release that particular thing that is trying to hold me back? Do you understand that? And I hope, you know what, I got a little passionate. I do apologize. But do everyone understand? And press one if you have something to say. Hey, you're on the line. Sierra and Beth, you're still on the line. I see Hope had to drop off. Press one. LA, even if you have something to say, you know, let me know. I still see you're on a question. I don't know if you have a question. I'm going to open up your line and see if there's something you have to say or do you understand. LA, your line is open. Did you understand now where we're coming, what direction we were coming into when it comes down to this actual conversation?
Yep. And just to partially reframe it, taking a religion out, some people are women are attracted to alpha males.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up with all
alpha
that behavior. Neighbor. And they put
what's
up with all
neighbor?
Types of... No, alpha male.
Oh, alpha male. Okay.
And they put up with what a lot of people might consider antisocial behavior because of, you know, the attraction.
Hmm. That's good. That's good.
Not all,
and what we
but,
call...
but quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And the thing about an alpha male is they have no off switch. In other words, there's never enough women. There's never enough drinking. There's never enough recklessness. But the attraction still is there.
That's good. That's good. You just touched on something that we are going to talk about. It's called, and it's an addiction. The alpha male sounds like an addiction. And we become addicted to something that gives us that false sense of intimacy, that stimulate us, that what we cannot stimulate ourselves. We can't. I now, for myself, I enjoy, and it took years for me to do that. I love going out by myself. I love being with myself. I love me, and I didn't know how to love me, but I had to go through these tragedies and different things to learn how to love the person I am within. That's why my book is called Change from the Inside Out. So when I saw this, and I saw this pattern, the girlfriend that called me, she said she's been in it for 5 years. I said, baby, why are you crying? You're crying for a man that you said has been cheating on you, and in his eyes, he's not cheating because he believes in polygamy. He believes in different things. So he's really not cheating, but he told you he believed in all this. You chose to grasp on to this relationship. Why are you crying? You know, is this what you want? If this is not what you want, why are you fighting against your will? But for Bridget, this was only about 4 or 5 months that I've known the person, and I have nothing against the person. I still speak to them. I still respect who they are in their makeup of their DNA, their personality, but their character stinks. So, but I can deal, I always say this is my greatest quote. I say, you have to know if you're mature enough for someone else's immaturity. When I now come down to the level of your immaturity, I have now just fell out of my maturity into your immaturity. So guess what? I had to regroup. And now it wasn't a romantic relationship anymore with this man. I actually started seeing this man as a patient. I started seeing this man as a child. I started seeing this man as a client. I now took up the dynamics of him being a husband, and we're looking for people, not even a man, with wisdom, someone that can meet you where you're at. So if you two are on a different playing field, different levels, and it's not working, you know, what we're saying through the whole thing, it comes a time when we say, when do we stop trying to make it work and let them get there? You're either going to get there or they're going to either get there. But two people that cannot agree, how can they walk together? Are y'all still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Pastor Bridget.
Ahead.
Pastor Bridget, this is Sierra.
Yes,
I just wanted to say something. You hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to say something. This is Sierra before the call ends today. I just commend you for not trying to be a superwoman in a sense, because so many times women make the mistake of feeling like they can fix a man or a woman. You know, a man makes the mistake of feeling like he can fix the woman. But the reality is nobody has the power or the ability to fix a human, a soul, other than God. And so I just commend you that you were brave enough to say, I'm backing out of this. I love me. I'm going to save my life. He can do what he want to do, when he want to do it, how he want to do it. But I choose not to go further with this situation, because so many women have tricked themselves to thinking that they can fix somebody when they need fixing their own self. So that's all I have to say. I'm just, this call is just powerful, off the chain.
And I love to be transparent. And you know, people say, how you put yourself on a chopping block? Because my life experience is for someone else. And I can say, yes, that I have, even the sexual part, I have a sexual attraction to. Yeah, she's saying Pastor Bridget, but Pastor Bridget wants to get her groove on because that entity was pulling inside of her, and we call it the familiar spirit. And Beth knows, and anyone else that's on here that walked down this journey with me, except for Sierra, I got some of my babies that they could not understand what I was going through yet. But we were in the hotel room. Listen, he played, he didn't want to touch me, but I knew what was being set in the atmosphere, and I was doing some things, and we were going to get raw with it. And I'm like, really? Really, Bridget? You going there? You going there for real? But what are the consequences behind all this? What are you going to get when you get all this? So we don't think further. And yes, I did love him. And I can say, even my pastor said, and I'm going to be real, I still love him. But I can walk away from dysfunction. I see him more because love doesn't turn off. You just don't turn love on and off. Either you're going to love me or you're not. You know, people have conditions to love. You've got to know what kind of love you have. Is it lust? Is it infatuation? But I love him, and if he needed something, when he came to me, first I will pray. For me, I go to my creator, my God, and say, do I help this person? To an extent, he might be to an extent. I would never let him stay in my hotel room again, and I would never let him stay now that I have a place to stay. No, I don't think I could let him stay there because I was too weak. He became repulsive. I hope that I said the word right. He became the nastiest thing that I ever seen. That's how my eyes started seeing him, to turn off the lust inside of me. And we're going to do this. It's a training for women and a training for whoever, because now I even hear the girlfriend is back and it's all about lust. It's all about sex. And I'm like, wow. It's to the point that our emotions, again, that's another emotional control. And they're back together, and he just lied to me again just a few days ago that they're not back together. And I really didn't care, but you know what? It's like Beth say, and Beth, we have 12 minutes. It's something that I love that she always breaks down. Why is it that they're steady lying? Why can't you just lay out the truth? And that's all I asked for was the truth. I said, you should have gave me the right to see if I could have handled the truth. And Beth kept on, and because she's another spiritual entity that helps. She's a spiritual advisor that say, okay, when we see the mental aspect of what the person is going through, go ahead, Beth, what were you telling me?
You can continue. Well, you know, with my own training, you know, CSAC train, which is commercial sexual exploitation of children, as most of you are aware, I have an anti-human trafficking ministry. So, you know, And just your own consciousness of awareness of how people behavior seems around you, what they're saying, you know, and sensing and having that sensitivity, it is so much better, of course, to have the circle of support. And surely you did have a great circle of support, Bridget, that helped you on the journey to quickly bounce back. Unfortunately, there are so many of us without that. And that is what we are striving to create, you know, a community that people know, as the word says, they shall know, or the song, I should say, mm-hmm. They shall know we are Christians by our love. And it's not about that label, Christian. It is really just love. It is just love. Mm-hmm. We identify as far as the Christ consciousness, but it's just about love. And
in supporting one another, not being judgmental at all. You know, we're all here to help one another heal. That is what we first have to realize. We came on the planet broken. And that's why we can so easily get off track. As the verse says from the psalmist, in iniquity my mother conceived me. We came here broken. So we really need to be awake and aware of our purpose on the planet so that we can ascend as all masters have. We too, you know, the word says, as he is, in which we are talking about Christ, as he is, we are in this world. So we need to be awake and aware of what's going on. And that takes oftentimes that community. Because just as you said, Bridget, you were lost in your own world of illusion, you know, by allowing that portal to be open from the illusionist. He came to you as an illusionist. So you would have to have that support of those who could see that clearly and still love you in spite of, you know, the attack, you know, because I was, like, constantly attacked. But you knew it was love. You eventually knew who truly was demonstrating that love, because that's what Christ did. He said, turn the other cheek, love your enemies. That is what we reflect in the world, that love which never fails. And so when we have that surrounding us, it's a wonderful blessing. Again, so many don't, and we want to be that for those who have lost their way or feel alone in this, because no one is.
And what I kept on doing was rationalizing what it is that they were going through, but then when I had to sit back and listen to my counsel. You know, we have Confucius, we have a Confucius, we have the Buddha, and they speak about wisdom. They speak about a certain type of wisdom you use. Even the Quran, they speak in wisdom. I had to come through my wisdom and say, this is not working. This is not what I demonstrate love as. When we see love demonstrated, when we demonstrate love, we want to see the same love demonstrate to us. I can still demonstrate you the love, but from a distance. I can still carry the love for you, but it was not being healthy for me. When it now is damaging me as a person, I had to walk away from it. And when I heard the girlfriend cry, the woman said to me, I am a hurt woman, and I need to know about y'all relationship. And I turned around for her and say, baby, how is your relationship with yourself? Because what I'm seeing, you have been so inundated with this man, you've lost yourself. You've lost your dignity, and you've lost who my creator, my God, say, when he first made us, was good. And when they start taking away that goodness that you are, you have to go back. And because of his tragedy, because of his turmoil, because of what he's been through, now I can see him as that patient. I can see him as that client. I see him as that child, that missing part of him that has not grown up. And how can I now minister, or how can I now help nourish through not romance, but how can I nourish that inner man to now help him meet us where we're at and grow up in where he's supposed to be? Because though he might be 50, or I'm not going to say A, but 50 or something, he is in a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old body. How can I help you get there? So we're not putting down the people. What we're doing is trying to wake up our mind. We have 5 minutes, LA, I know you're still on the line. I don't know if you want to say something. Beth, I'm going to let you close out. And Sierra, I need for the people to know how they can get on your inspirational call. So, LA, really quick, is there anything else you want to say?
No, I'm just listening, taking it all in.
Okay. And LA has a show. Tell them real quick about your show.
It's called It's My House on Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. And the telephone number?
619-768-2945.
That's 619-768-2945?
Correct.
Okay. Well, y'all need to check out LA Show. LA Show is awesome. He talks about a lot of things that we need to learn in the system, and I commend him for what he do. Sierra, I am going to, well, you know what, Beth, go ahead and close out. Real quick, can you give me 30 seconds to a minute about your anti-trafficking and Beth Ministries?
Yes, I'll tell you my number first. Yes, do you hear me?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes, the number first, which is 561-907-6671. That is the ministry number. You can also reach me, email, house, Beth means house, and it is my middle name. You can reach me, email, by house, Man, M-N, without the A in it, Houseman, man, short, hand. Houseman, H-O-U-S-E-M-N, 7@gmail.com. That 7 is that we have what is called the 7 Lamps Fasting Chain. We hold vigils, not only at venues, but on a teleconference. We just had our annual Labor Day weekend vigil. And some who are on the line, perhaps listening, went through that with me, that were some new people coming on for it that we have every year. We really love that. And it's about raising awareness on the suffering of sexual abuse, youth violence, and human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So we deal with the youth, as you know, there's gang trafficking.
You're welcome. Sierra, tell us of how we can reach you.
Okay, well, the name of the show is Get Up Girl and Get Inspired, Morning Inspirations with Sierra. And basically that show is all about inspiration, motivation, encouragement, and empowerment for women and also men if they would like to be a part of that call, to help them through the Word of God and through practical everyday life situations to rise up and dust themselves off so they can stop being sabotaged and, you know, get out of codependency and all type of other issues. And the number to that call is 712-775-7035. And the ID in which when you call in, it's going to ask you for an access code. It's 685-426. And if you would like any more information about my Facebook group, about that call, you can call, email me at LifeCoachSierra. I spell my name with the S, S-I-E-R-R-A, LifeCoachSierra@gmail.com.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Bridget Norris Show. I thank you. I feel good. I'm back. And we're going to keep on having these conversations because it's time. Time for us to, you know, confront the elephant in the room. And I just love you all. I love you all, and I'll see you hopefully next week. I want you to remember, you're beautiful. I leave you with Beautiful by Molly Music.
It's a blessing to see people. for you.
I put my heart in the air for you. I see what you're doing, yeah, I see what you go through. I put my heart in the air, the truth is you're beautiful.
Beautiful,
beautiful,
beautiful.
Now put your light in the air for us. Everybody singing together, singing new songs. Put your light in the air for love. It's beautiful,
beautiful,
beautiful. Many mighty ships are sailing. Many stars are falling down, and I count it as a blessing that you hold me up now. Oh, I can tell that you've been praying. My whole life has turned around, yeah, yeah, and I can't go without saying that I thank God for you all now. Yeah, for you, I
put my heart in the air for you. I see what you're doing, yeah, I see what you go through.